I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of Supercoach Edge, and of course another edition of Damo's Team Talk coming out of round six. And from the get-go, you can probably hear a little bit under the weather. Half of it was probably self-inflicted. Had a Bucks party for a mate yesterday, which also involved, because he was a fellow bagger as well, we went to the Carlton Giants game, and horse in the throat. Sound like Barry Hall crossed with Jonathan Brown. Ended up having a big, big day and big night as well. So again, all the best to Gast on his upcoming wedding. And must say as well, outside of that, come down this morning with a little bit of runny nose, all that sort of stuff that works. So a bit from column A, a bit from column B, self-inflicted, but also a bit under the weather. So with that, let's proceed and jump across to how we performed coming out of round six. And here you go, you can see it wasn't the best week. In fact, it was the one week that we've only had where we've actually dropped down in rank, unfortunately. As you can see there, ended up scoring a 1,879. Season rank, I've slipped 1.8k spots to now sit ranked back in 4,018th overall. Is what it is. Top 18 week, best 18. Hoping it was a best 8, as we spoke about in last week's podcast proper, but you know, it's one of those things. I think I had a look quickly at, comparative type teams and scores across my leagues, and I've kind of worked it out to those people that have Gorn, those teams that don't own Gorn but own the likes of Cherry, Meek, and those that don't own Tom Stewart, so obviously dodged his concussion score. Those are the teams that kind of scored well. So it's not the end of the world. Gorn just goes to show, plays a massive impact, but comes down to luck as well. I mean, there was other guys as well, which I'll get into in a moment, that were subbed and had low scores outside of what they normally average. So just a sort of amalgamation of, you know, a bit of a shit show. So that's pretty much that. So let's jump into our team. Of course, before we do so, if you're tuning in for the first time, give us a like, give us a follow, and that'd be much appreciated. So let's have a look at my team in detail, and I'll try and make it a bit quick because I don't want to bore you with my raspy voice. I think I'm sort of evolving into more of a Barry Hall as the video goes on, so got to rest the voice. So first up, Harry Sheasel. She's nuts. 110. Didn't go as nuts as what he normally does, but happy enough with that. Nicky Dacos returned to form with a 133. One down score, which kind of hurt me more than most, was Wanganeen Millera with a dinner for 269. That in itself puts a smile on your face, but not in the context of what he should be scoring. So was his lowest score of the season. Previous scores, 101, 120, 91, 114, and a 93. So down on, output, and the Saints were overall as well against the Dogs. They were just absolutely run off their feet. So I might forgive him here. And just looking ahead at his fixture as well, he faces Port, which is obviously going to be a tough matchup at home for Port this coming round. But beyond that, he faces North Melbourne and the Hawks, and a bit of a Jekyll and Hyde in Frio at Marvel. So, yeah, hopefully he bounced back and we can sort of reap the rewards there. But as it's turned out, a bit of a sliding doors, because this is the man that I brought in off the back of trading out Hayden Young, who ended up going down with what they're calling hamstring awareness on the weekend. So, yeah, I think either way, this round I would have been absolutely kaput if I had either dude. So it is what it is, and just hopefully this bodes well for me, having the, I guess, the fitter of the two options there in Wangan and Miller. Then we had D'Ambrosio. Again, he's highly owned. Ended up scoring a 60. I think it was scaled up because he was actually subbed in this game. And I think he had a 55 at the time. Ended up being scaled up, thankfully, to 60. So went up another 11.3K to now have made 123.3K overall. So break even now of 45. So still around about that mark. That's well below his average at the moment, which is 82.3. So could have a bit more money in the bank to make if you want to keep hold of him, but also by the same token as well, yeah, it's one of those things that if you want to use him as a bit of a stepping stone to a genuine primo, yeah, 100% I endorse that. Before I proceed further, I probably should note as well of those guys that ended up getting the DPP additions this round, because obviously they came into effect, or will come into effect from here on out. So of course, Closey, the good old Hills Hoist, ended up getting the defensive midfielder DPP. Likewise, D'Ambrosio. Then we also had, just scanning through my team, Nick Martin, of course, defensive midfielder. Likewise, Matt Roberts, midfielder, defensive DPP. Will Graham also as well. And then we also had Heaney, of course, playing in the midfield predominantly all season and doing it to great effect. Midfielder, forward, DPP. Tom Powell, and the other one was Dempsey. So Dempsey was the other one getting the forward midfielder DPP. So yeah, that's kind of the state of play with my team, but we will be putting up a list on social, so check that out. And no doubt as well, you could find that through Code Sports and their Herald Sun when they do an article on that. But let's jump back into our defense. So Zach Williams, again, another guy that really hurt us. It's been the defense that's hurt us most of all, I think, this round, with Wanganeen, Miller, D'Ambrosio and Williams. So Williams was also subbed, but that wasn't tactical. It was due to the fact that he got a knock to his Achilles. So precautionary, took him off. So in all likelihood, should be fit to play this coming round. But yeah, again, up to you if you want to trade him or not. He went up another 11.9K on the weekend to now sort of surpass the illustrious mark of the 100K mark. And he's now gone up 111.2K overall. So now sort of right for cashing in and yeah, making a bit of coin out of him to really stepping stone to a genuine primo. So he's priced at 327.3K, right about that mark of D'Ambrosio at 348.2. So both of these guys are really ripe for the picking. But again, by the same token, if you want to hold on to him, you probably can. Williams is break even 62, so is what it is. He's averaging a 66.7, so still underneath his average at the moment. Closey, Hills Hoist, scored a 75, going from strength to strength. He ended up going up, what was it in total? 114K. So incredible work there by Closey. And he now sits at 216.4K. So what a massive jump, of course, and goes into this coming round with a break-even of negative 75. So could go up another 69.8K in his second week, would you believe? And really is projected to, I guess, bottom out if he averages a 77 from here on out. He's going to bottom out at around about 400K or a touch under. So, yeah, he's going to be someone that's going to help us really jump to those primos and fill our bank with a bit of dosh. Tom Stewart, again, talking about the defense letting us down. Again, not his fault, but went off concussed, scored a 62. And, yeah, is what it is. Owned by 25% of the competition as well. So, at least you know it's not really affecting you, but by the same token, it still bloody hurts as well. So, he's going to be out this week, which is where it's going to really hurt us most. For those people that don't own him, they get a bit of a leg up over us. So, not much we can do. We can just hope that the guys that are filling in can score well enough. Moving on to the midfield, Bontempelli, 125. He was my VC. A lot of people went for Steele. You would have heard in my team talk and the team sheet reveals last Thursday in the live stream. I was keen on Bont just because I was banking on the Dogs bouncing back. I tipped them for the win, and likewise Bont as well, as I was banking on him bouncing back because he's an absolute champion. And when he's called upon, he delivers, which is what he did. So happy enough with that. Locked in that VC score as my captain, 125. Jack Steele, other side of the fence, he scored an 84. Down on production, but he's been absolutely smashing it all year. So you've got to give him a stay of execution here. A bit of a reprieve. Yeah, he's been incredible. So is what it is. Caleb Sarong, so a bit of a segue here as well. I'll just quickly roll through my trades because he was one of my upgrades heading into this week. Scored a 117 against the Eagles. I was hoping for a bit of a 130 odd score. Wasn't to be. I mean, Frio largely struggled, believe it or not, against West Coast. I've no idea what's going on with them. But I was kind of weighing up between Sarong and Butters. Ended up going for Sarong based upon his fixture, which over the next couple of weeks, hopefully can, capitalize on it. Faces the Dogs this coming round at his home venue, Optus Stadium, and then Richmond at the G, who give up bulk points to opposition midfielders. So hopefully he can continue on, but nonetheless, he's going to be a top eight scoring midfielder from here on out. So happy enough with him as an in. The other trades that I did, let me just have a quick look at those. So the outs overall, it was Sanders out for McAuliffe. And then I had McKercher out for Graham from Gold Coast, and then upgraded Carroll to Sarong. So that's left me still with 109.4k in the bank, and yeah, we'll be looking to get in another primo, which you can probably guess who it's going to be this round. Next up, we had Tom Green, scored an 82. This guy's really fallen off the perch, unfortunately, especially those people that jumped on him late in the piece when he'd already gone up 40-odd K. He, over his past couple of weeks, has been regressing massively. After scoring 132, 152, and 137 in his first three, he's now scored over his next three, 109, 72, and an 82. Faces the Lions this week, and I think it's at his home venue, Monica Oval. So, yeah, it's going to be one of those things where, yeah, hopefully he can turn it around, but I don't know what the issue is. I mean, he had 30 disposals, 4 marks, 5 tackles, 3 frees against, but yeah, it's was one of those games where the Giants started well, but they just petered out, really, which is, I was happy enough with as a baggers man, seeing it live. Nicky Martin, 114, going from strength to strength. Looking really good. Of course, he gets the DPP, so I'll be looking to swing him back, especially with Stewart being unavailable this week due to concussion. So, got to really help me. And yeah, it's comes at a perfect time. And he's been super, super valuable for me. He's now gone up, believe it or not, 82.3K from when I actually looked after his first two games when he scored a 63 and a 93, that he was actually going to drop in price. So, incredible turnaround in form, as we've spoken about ad nauseum. Next up, the guy that let us down was Tookie Miller. He's kind of been, again, another guy that's been thereabouts. Scored all right, like across, by and large, across the season to date. 116, 137, and 115. 89, bit of a drop there. 133 last week against the Hawks. And he's dropped back down again with an 88 against Sydney. But then he faces West Coast this coming round. Then he faces Brisbane and then North. So at least two of his next three games should be ceiling games, hopefully, where he can bounce back and kind of make up the difference that was lost this weekend with his down on output. Matt Roberts, 117. Again, this, speaking of going from strength to strength, this dude, incredible. Went up 47.3K. He's now gone up a total of 226.4K. And yeah, arguably outside of Closey, he's been the cash cow of the season to date. Break even of 22 going into this week. Owned by 47% of the competition. And yeah, he could potentially make another, potentially 50K to bottom out around about 450 odd. So I'll be keeping hold of him, as you guys should as well, for as long as possible, especially with the added midfielder DPP, midfielder defensive DPP. So yeah, he is an absolute gun. Then we had Will Graham, 61. I should actually undo the changes here so you can see, because I've been fiddling with my team. Will Graham, he was in defense, 61. Went up a little bit of coin, which is good, 69.7K, and owned by 51% of the competition, no surprise there, and should make us easily another 120K plus. So, yeah, he is very, very valuable. On the bench was Jeremy Sharp, 67. This is a guy that's really helped us as well. Really happy again in retrospect, having used a boost to bring this guy in my team before he went up in price. He's actually made us 213.8K overall and went up 33.6K on the weekend. Now has a break even of 72. So that's just hovering below his average at the moment, which is 75.2. So he is someone that's probably right for the picking. His price went up largely due to the fact that 3 rounds ago, he scored that 126 against Carlton. So when that falls out of his price cycle from next week onwards, unless he has another big score, his price is pretty much going to stagnate and if not fall from here. So he's done his job. He's more than done his job. Like, he's made us, you know, if you're using 100K as the benchmark for the price appreciation for rookies before you cash them in, he's more than doubled what we're expecting. So really made up the shortfall from other guys that we've traded out prematurely, like McKercher, Sanders, Berry, all those guys. So really does, when you look at it in that respect, help us out as well. So yeah, I'm on the fence with him about trading him, because he is actually still scoring around about his average and providing a nice, I guess, emergency score if needed, with a potential spike score as well. So yeah, he'll be on the, I guess, the consideration list for trades, but not at the moment. Jai Clark, spoke of him last week. I'm just sort of, you know, resigned to the fact that he's going to be someone that is going to be a slow burn potentially. He's dropping down to almost his starting price again. Meh, is what it is, really. I spoke about it last week. I wasn't going to trade him down to 117K rookie and only really net, you know, a gain of 55K or thereabouts off his price point that he had last week. So I'd say that is a bit of a waste. So I'm just going to keep him there. Hopefully Scott gives him more of a run and he can have a bit of a spike game and restart, or at least kickstart his cash generation. Next up we have McAuliffe. So I ended up bringing this guy in as a non-playing player with the expectation that he's going to be back in the team for Richmond coming out of their bye. I'm conscious of the fact that they're really depleted in the midfield with the likes of Taranto, Hopper and Prestia all out of the team. So has a negative 7 break even in his relatively full game, wasn't subbed at all. Scored a 58 in his previous. Then in his first game when he was starting sub, he only scored a 16. So once that drops out of his price cycle, if he can average around about 60-odd, he'll be well on his way to making us 100K profit. So happy enough with him. Highly rated junior. And yeah, hopefully he has that spot that can keep going onwards. Maxi Gawn was my captaincy loophole. Obviously didn't play. Luke Jackson scored a 90. I saw a little bit of this game because I was out at a pub. It was a little bit under the weather due to the obviously the Bucks that I was at. Yeah, had his moments. Scored a 90. Went down 31K. I'm not awfully worried, really. I wasn't looking to really bring him in as a genuine cash cow or playing cash cow. And if he can average around about 90-odd, he's still going to be a top six forward. So at this stage, I'm going to look to keep him. Unless there's other guys that really put their hands up to be a top six forward outside of those that I already have. And if he ends up being my, you know, F6, I'll be happy with that. And I am expecting anyway that Darcy's going to be managed throughout the rest of the season just to make sure that he gets through unscathed. But if they push him, I can just see Darcy Hodor being injured yet again. So if that's going to be bound to happen, that, you know, it's probably a good thing to keep hold of Jackson. When others zig, when they jump off him, we're going to zag and we're going to keep him. So that's the plan there with him. And obviously with that DPP switch as well, could come in handy at some stage if I bring in a non-playing player who has a ruck forward switch. But the plan there in the rucks is obviously to bring in English over the next couple of weeks. In the forward line to round us out, we have Isaac Heaney. It's funny to say down in production, but he actually was 98. Went up 21.3K to have gone up overall. He's like been a massive playing cash cow. 176K is the highest rated forward thus far. No surprise there. As the Hawks this week. So could have another big game as well off the back of that. Moving on to Sam Flanders again. This guy, Flanders, as we call him, as they refer, as Homer refers to him in The Simpsons, went up 12.8k and has gone up 84.6k overall. He is relishing that role that he's got off half back, pushing sort of into the midfield at various stages. And yeah, faces West Coast this week. So yeah, it's all coming up Milhouse, to use another Simpsons reference, for Flanders there. Looking really good. Hasn't dropped by the ton for the season to date. Lock and Wood there. Then we had Tom Powell, 73. Again, had one of those games that was very, very slow, then worked into it, much like the game against Brisbane, where he also scored a 73. So, is what it is. Ended up having 20 disposals, 5 marks, and 4 tackles with 1 behind. So, was hoping for a bit more of a better output against the Hawks, equivalent sort of competition, but wasn't to be. And I still think he's going to be a top 6 forward at the moment. Speaking of top 6 forwards, this guy has put his hand up to vie for that position, and it is Harley Reid. Absolute gun. Went up 75.2k on the weekend, if you don't mind, to have gone up overall 186.6k. He is in 78% of teams, and I know there were some people that traded him out because his starting percentage was, the ownership wise, was 80.2%. And that's dropped down to 78.4. So a lot of people would have jumped off after his third game when he only went up 34.9K. He only scored 78, 63, and a 54 to that point. But his past three games, another level. He's gone on another level. 91, 108, 147. So can we expect a 160-odd? He's going up every week. So, yeah, an absolute gun and an absolute freak, really. So yeah, he's vying in my eyes now as a potential, which I kind of floated last week as a potential, like maybe Reid could be a top six. And yeah, all signs point to that potentially. If he's our F6, F5, means it saves us a trade and we don't have to, you know, find the cash to upgrade into a genuine primo. If he is, you know, a bit of a standing primo ahead of his time. Next up we have Ollie Dempsey, 53, down on production. Didn't score what we were hoping him to. Past couple of games has been 56 and a 53, but his previous, I guess, 3 out of his starting 4 scores were pretty good. 96, a 59, 86, and an 80. So does have sort of the, you know, history of being a spike scorer, having done so 3 times already. But from what he's scoring around about now, between 50 and 60 odd, I expect that to kind of be his average outside of these spike scores. Is a potential there to hold him because he could potentially make a bit more cash. His break-even 66, which is below his average at the moment, which is 71.7. So, yeah, totally up to you. And with that addition of the midfielder forward DPP, he's going to come in handy just in terms of upgrading a team and using him as a bit of a switch if need be. Rounding us out on field is Sam Darcy. Scored a 49. Again, one of these guys that kind of has spike games. He's done that before. He scored a 109, 54, 84, 82. And a 49 on the weekend was his lowest score overall. But still getting hit outs as well. Pinch hitting in the ruck. Scored a goal. And yeah, he's a fabulous mark. So someone that I think you could probably hold on to for a little bit longer. His break even now is 32. And his average overall is 75.6. So at least half his average at the moment. So has a bit more, probably around about 40k, maybe even 50k to eke out of him yet. So keep hold of him for now. He was in line for what, ruck forward DPP. Unfortunately, didn't get it. Didn't play enough time in the ruck, is what it is. Now, round us out on the bench. Cadman scored a 60. I was looking to potentially trade him last week instead of the likes of a Carroll, but he ended up vying for keeping Cadman, and it worked out because he ended up going up 8.7k off the back of that score of 60. His break even now is 36, so still around about that mark. That's very, very achievable. And he's averaging at the moment a 65.2, so you can probably hold on to him for another week or two potentially, depending on if he has a spike score. And if he does, that he could eke out quite a bit more cash. But he's already managed 152.5k and done his job. So if you want to move him on and use him as a bit of a cash out option to then use that cash to put on the head of another player and bring in genuine primo, you can do that. So, or if you have enough cash, put it on the head of Cadman and away you go. And rounding us out, we have Darcy Wilson. This guy has done really, really well to, I guess, re-energize his cash generation. The 69, ding, ding, dinner for two. Nice score from Darcy Wilson. Went up 32.7K on the weekend. He's now eclipsed that 100K mark in profit to the tune of 106.2K. And he's gone well. He dropped away sort of in his middle, I guess, games, where he scored a 25-58 after scoring 66 and 59 in his first two games. But his previous two games have been really good, 61 and 69, ding, ding. So he's helped us out there and probably should make us another 30K at least over the next couple of weeks. So you can probably hold him for at least 3 weeks. He faces Port, obviously a hard matchup, but then he faces North and the Hawks back-to-back. So hopefully he can at least make us a bit more coin, and then we'll look to punt him potentially in round 10. And that's how he scored in that round.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
So let's get on to all things trades, which is what most people tune in for. The juiciest part of the team talk discussion. So what I'm thinking of at the moment, we have to kind of identify who we want to get into our team. So let's have a look at our watch list here on the right-hand side for those people tuning in on YouTube. But don't worry, for those people tuning in via audio podcast, I will run through these guys that I have on my watch list. They've been here for quite a while now. I showed this list a few weeks ago. Jordan Dawson's one. He came out of the blocks finally and rewarded those owners that held on to him. 168. The one thing with him, and I'll jump across to DFS Australia, is the fact that he was getting bulk CBAs. And that was off the back largely of course, Crouch being out of the team. So his CBAs over the 3 weeks ago was 59% and then 48%. And then on the weekend went up to 80%. I do wonder, though, when Crouch comes back into the team, who's kind of averaging that 66% CBAs at the moment, someone's going to have to lose CBAs. And it's probably going to come off the back of, you know, looking at other guys that had a bump in CBAs. It was Saligo, went up at least 15%. Oh, sorry, no, he only went up 5%. Rankin went up 15%. I was looking at the wrong one. And I guess that's 20% right there. But still, you'd think off the back of that, Dawson's going to have to lose some CBAs. Unless it's, you know, Rochelle is kind of getting a few CBAs, but yeah, it's going to be interesting. And I don't know if the big issue was the fact that he wasn't getting those CBAs. Obviously, it didn't help with Dawson in previous weeks, but it was more so his disposal, which was absolutely horrid. But on the weekend, he turned that around, which was good to see. So he was someone that I was eyeing off. He's now at 533.6K. You won't get him cheaper than this, I don't think. Went up 16.3K on the weekend, but he's still underpriced by his starting price by 114K. So he is extreme value. Outside of him, Luke Davies Uniac, LDU, went down another 11.7K on the weekend. He's priced at 516.4K, averaging a 94.8, but he's too topsy-turvy for me at the moment, and I do have doubts now over him being a top 8 midfielder. Tim English is obviously in my watch list. I'm waiting for him to drop a little bit more over the next week or two. Should drop in his return game this coming week by around about 30K, so he should sit around about that 580 mark, which is going to be an absolute bargain considering that he started at 715. So yeah, he should drop in total by around about 130 by the end of next week. So yeah, he's right for the picking then. Petrarca is another one. He is priced at 623.9, has a 157 break even coming up against the Tigers though. If it was any other matchup, I'd say, you know, I'd love to sort of wait. But it's almost like the Tigers, as I said, you know, they give up quite a few points to opposition mids. So he could actually, you know, come close to that break-even, believe it or not. So I am anticipating him to drop a little bit of cash, but not as much as what's sort of been mooted here by Supercoach Plus. They've kind of got 20K. So again, I'd love to have a track, but yeah, there's value elsewhere, who I'll get into in a moment. Errol Goulden, 585.8K. Again, two up and down. Sicily, I'm not going to touch as yet. Brayshaw, no. Zach Merritt, he had a bit of a down game, 109, because he was pushed forward in game due to getting a bit of attention against the Crows. And yeah, he's at 653.8K, but I think I'll wait for him to drop a little bit further. Luke Ryan had a down game, thank the Lord, finally, with an 89. Hopefully he can have a bit of a down game as well against the Dogs and start dropping a bit further in cash so I can jump on him. Jumped on Sarong so he can go to my watch list. So there's one I've ticked off the list. Zach Butters is another guy I want to get in my team. But yeah, again, talking about, you know, value, he doesn't fit that at the moment. Rory Laird, he's kind of off the list now. I don't think he's going to be someone that's going to be a top eight midfielder. But I'll keep him in there for the time being just to watch him. And Dan Houston as well. He's turned around his form. And he had a nice score of 141. But again, not awfully worried about defense at the moment. I think Ryan's the only guy that I'd like to jump on. But waiting for him, of course, to get a little bit cheaper. Now, the one guy who isn't in my watch list now is someone that I speak about all the time. Pants off territory. It is my man, Sammy Walsh. And we spoke about it on the podcast proper last week. During the week. And yeah, he again went gangbusters. So Walshy, he's going to be my target this week. He's priced at 576.8K. And I think he's priced around about 90, 95 odd. And he's outputting, I mean, two game sample size, of course, but he's outputting an average of 148. In his first two games, 166 and a 130. Just incredible. He ended up having 35 disposals, four tackles, one free for all, four and a behind. So he's projected to go up 45.2K this coming round against the Cats with a projected score of 132 according to Supercoach Plus. And in his previous two games against the Cats, he scored 158 and a 126. So if you want Walshy, now is the time to get him. So yeah, he's going to be upwards of around about what Sarong's priced at the moment, around about that 615, 620 mark. So if you want him, now is the time to get him, which is what I am doing. Alrighty, so now we have to kind of work out as to who we punt from our teams. So I think Williams is potentially one. With that Achilles knock, they might be a bit more ultra conservative with him. And yeah, rotate him more off the bench or even give him a rest. But I think given that his break even now is 62 and it's just below what he's averaging at 66.7, I think Zachy Williams is out. So he's one. The other one that I'm kind of weighing up, and it's between Jeremy Sharp and Ollie Dempsey and Cadman. Now, I think Cadman has a little bit more money to make, which is totally fine. So I'll keep hold of him. Comes down to Sharp and Dempsey. Now, these guys have been up and down. Dempsey's had those spike scores. I am a little bit confident that he can have another spike game and re-energize his cash gen. But I think when we look down to brass tacks, really, when we come down to brass tacks, we need to trade one of these guys in order to make the most of having that you know, trade cadence, that, you know, I guess the flow, the, you know, to get in the... in the flow, really, of just trading from week to week, because we want to have a little bit of cash left over in our bank, which is what we did last week, heading into, you know, coming into round seven. It just makes life so much easier when you've got a little bit of bank already that, you know, you're trading down a maxed rookie. That gives you, obviously, cash. Put that on top of what you've already got in the bank, and Bob's your uncle. It means you're not having to skimp, and you can reach for those higher-end primos. So I think for me, considering looking at my midfield, I've got Clark and McAuliffe. Clark is not reliable at all. Obviously, he's been a bloody sub in every single game, bar one, I think. And McAuliffe is, you know, a youngster at Richmond. Should hopefully get opportunity to continue on. But again, isn't someone that I'd like to have on field if need be. Whereas I think Jeremy Sharp can be on field, given what he scored in the past. And has a little bit more money to make, potentially. Not much, though. But, you know, by and large for me, is the fact that he's going to provide a bit of a score if we need it. So at the moment, pending team lists and whatnot, I will think that I'll trade out Dempsey. The only thing with trading out Dempsey is it means that I'm going to have to play someone like a Wilson, Cadman, or the guy that I'm trading in, which I think is probably no surprise here. Everyone's going to get on him. It is Hugo Garcia from the Saints. Real nice luxury as well. The fact that he is a mid forward, tackling beast as well. That's the one thing I love about Garcia. Tackling beast in the VFL as well. So it is ingrained into his game. So yeah, it's not just a once-off. So he scored a ding-ding 69 on the weekend as well, alongside Wilson. Doubled him, ding-ding. So and Wanganeen Miller, ding-ding-ding. So all three of these Saints guys came through with the goods. Yeah, but I mean, these two rookies did, not so much Wanganeen Miller. Mate, you shouldn't be hanging around the 69s. You're beyond that, mate. But yeah, Garcia, that will give us, at the moment, 626K to spend. So obviously I could go for anyone, really. I could do DPP swings and stuff, get in a Luke Ryan. Actually, I don't even know if I'd be able to afford Ryan. No, I wouldn't. So he's out of the picture. But I could go for a Dawson, potentially. I could go for one of these guys back as well. So Dacos goes back to the defense. But I could go for a Jordan Dawson. That'll leave me around about 95K, 96K or thereabouts. Or I could go for Walshy, as I said. But I am keen on Walshy. What is his ownership? 13.1%. So quite a few people jumped on him heading into this round. And well done if you did. But you would have obviously benefited from that score. But he comes in. And as you can see here, with these two trades, Zach Williams and Dempsey out for Walsh and Garcia, it leaves us with 49.2K in the bank. And I was actually thinking that I might need to use two trades in order to fund this trade. But again, we'll confirm that. And we can get away with not using our boost. We've only got one boost left. So it comes down to whether or not now, if I want to use that extra boost to bring in a rookie to then give us cash again for our next upgrade. After this, we're out of boosts. We're going to go down to two trades a week. Having a bit of cash in the bank will help us. It'll virtually allow us to, you know, bring another rookie and trade up to a primo, having already done a bit of a, you know, downgrade, I guess, if you look at it in that sense, a week earlier. So just to test our options, we'll just activate the boost. But really the only guys that I think we could really get rid of and punt would be D'Ambrosio, which is kind of going to be hard because Stewart, we're going to have to bench him. And it means that we're going to have to play. So we're going to swing Roberts back into defense as well. So we'll do that via Graham. We'll bench Stewart. And then it means that we've got D'Ambrosio on field, which I'm fine with for the time being. So if we were to trade D'Ambrosio, the only way we could do it would be to swing... Actually, we can swing a Nick Martin back, but this exposes us a bit in the midfield because whilst we can play sharp, it means that we have to, you know, potentially play another rookie like a... who would it be? Like a Wilson, potentially. And we'd be forced to play Cadman or a Garcia. So I don't know if we want to expose ourselves to that as yet. And I'd much prefer to play D'Ambrosio. He was only subbed due to sort of a tactical sub as well. So yeah, I think as well, his break even is not that sizable. Should make us a little bit of coin still. So just keeping that in mind more than anything. Outside of that, it'd probably have to be someone on the bench. So I'd need to punt someone like a Sharp, really, which kind of goes against what we're talking about earlier in keeping Holly Room a little bit longer, or we trade a Cadman. And yes, his break-even's only 36, but he could still make us, what, another 20, maybe 30K, if that. But do you want to have that extra 20 to 30K at the expense of missing out on another rookie to bring into your team? Because if we just have a quick look now, at the players we have on offer, in terms of cash cows on the horizon, we'll just filter this and we'll go below three matches. Bring down that price point. And we'll just filter that by games played. So there's Tunstall, 123.9, scored a 61. Now on the bubble for the Lions, yeah, not really for him. Drury only scored a 39 as a small forward. No. A lot of people went early on Biggie Nguyen. Scored a 46. Didn't look as good as what he did in his first game, but does have a break even now, and it's only due to that big first score that he had. A break even of negative 64. And with a score of 44, he should go up close to 50K. So there's that to keep in mind as well. And if he averages a 44, he will go up. What's that? In total, he should reach around about 100K, but it'll be a slow burn by around about round 13. So I don't know if we can afford to do that. He might have a spike game like he did in his first game. But we'll just need to sort of keep that in mind. But I think Biggie Newell is really the only player on the bubble that would be keen for, apart from Hugo Garcia, who we're definitely bringing in. Those guys on the horizon here, there's Riley Garcia, scored an 82 on the weekend first up, but again, small forward, does love to tackle like Garcia. I don't think both of these guys are related, but they both share the similarity, not just in name, but also in the way they play. They love a cuddle. So might really help us in that respect, but it comes down to whether or not if we want to go for Biggie Nguyen now, use a boost, or do we wait a week and go potentially for Garcia. So there's that to keep in mind, and I'm unsure about Biggie Nguyen's job security longer term as well. But outside of that, there's Lee Kalia, played his first game. I think it was a pick 15 back in, was it the 2021 draft? It might have been 2022. I think it was 2021, but he's been injured for quite a while, so hasn't played since 2022. And he's got his opportunity off the back of Sam Taylor being concussed. Taylor comes back this week, so it's going to be interesting to see if he actually keeps his spot. I think Cumming is out of the team as well, so he probably has to come back into the team, and it might see a Lear out of the team, but looked all right at various stages from what I saw of the game against Carlton. So I might make the decision between going for either, Biggie Nguyen this round or waiting a week for Lee Kalia based upon if Lee Kalia plays and is selected once Sam Taylor returns. So something to keep in mind. I think both of those guys, Lee Kalia and Biggie Nguyen, they're going to be slow burns nonetheless. So really comes down to whether or not I want to use the boost. So that's sort of the big decision I've got to make. Outside of that, there aren't really any guys on the horizon that have played one game. So yeah, it's going to be slim pickings from here on out. So I'd much prefer to invest in a rookie on the bubble, or at least another guy that's upcoming, like the man himself, Lee Kalia. And that's part of the reason why I went for Kane McAuliffe as well, where I could put myself in the position where I'm not forced to use a boost to bring in the two rookies, where I can just use the one downgrade and then upgrade to Walsh. So that's kind of my thinking there, forecasting forward. Outside of that, let's have a quick look at our VC and C options. Before I do that, I'll just adjust my team. So of course, Essendon with Zach Reed being my loophole option in defense. I won't need it now because obviously Tom Stewart is a loophole option himself, because both of these guys won't be playing. So that is what it is. Outside of that, Sharp, I'll probably play. Excuse me. I should apologize as well because I'm absolutely tired. Believe it or not, I didn't get home until 4:15 this morning. So big night. Fun night though. Good bucks. So Sharp, he's probably one guy I want to keep on field. That's what I mean as well, without Stewart being there on field. It just, even though I've got the deeper piece swings, it means that I have to rely on a rookie. And I guess of all the rookies that I want to rely upon for on-field scoring, I'd probably be most fine with Sharp. Actually, has he scored as well, Sharp, when he's played at Optus, at his home ground? I want to see if there's any correlation there with his scores. So he scored a 70, 71, and a 67. So not too bad. If he can get around about 70, I'd be super happy with that, because they obviously play Freo, the Dogs, at Optus Stadium. So that is that. And then in terms of the forward line, it's going to be interesting. I have to rely upon Darcy, Garcia, Cadman, or Wilson. So at least two of those guys. As annoying as that is, but I only need to do it for a week, because I'll be bringing the man, Tim English, into my team next week. I think I'll have to look at matchups in terms of... let's go across to DFS Australia. We'll have a quick look at defense V position to see if there's any matchup exploitations that we can use for round 7. So who do we have here? So for the Giants, they play Brisbane. Brisbane don't give any points away to opposition forwards, so no real correlation there. Wilson up against Port Adelaide. Wilson's more of a winger, I'd say. And Port give up... They don't give up many points to wingers. Where are we? Garcia. Probably the, it'll be the same thing, really. But he's kind of more of a forward, rotating through the middle. Nope. And then, geez, slim pickings. And then Darcy up against Frio. So he's more of a key forward. And, oh, geez. Frio are, like, the most stingy when it comes to key forwards. So it's going to be an annoyance, but I think we're just going to have to bank on the fact that Darcy's going to be played by a majority of people on field anyway. As we can see here, 88% of people already still have him on field heading into the round. And it's just going to be a flip of the coin, I think. Like Rookie Roulette, do we opt for a Garcia over a Wilson or a Cadman, or do we back in a Wilson instead of Garcia? Garcia, as I said, I don't mind because he's got that tackling prowess to him, where he's had 7 and 9 in his first two games. And the one thing with Garcia as well, if we just have a look at CBAs for the Saints, he was actually gifted a couple of CBAs. So his first couple of games, he's at 37% and 45%. So they do like to roll him through the midfield by and large, which is good to see. He's more of a sort of half forward, rolling through the midfield. And it's good because it kind of helped on the weekend that he scored the goal. He had 9 tackles, 14 disposals, 1 mark. If he can score a 70-odd or a 69 dinner for 2, ding, ding, we'd be very, very happy with that. We'd be dinging our way to glory. So, yeah, I'm going to have to work that out, but is what it is. We don't have any DPP, no non-playing players at the moment that we can use as loophole options, is what it is. So let's round things out by looking quickly at the C and VC options. Of course, Liam and I will go through this in greater detail outside of those players that we have in our respective teams. So check out our weekly episode as it drops, which will be on hoping to potentially put it out. We'll have to be Tuesday morning because we do have a Wednesday game between Richmond and Melbourne for the Anzac Day sort of eve game. Look out for that. But for my team, I can only go off those players I've got. So we'll have a quick squeeze. We'll flip around Supercoach Plus, see what the averages are looking like and the projections. So Gorn is projected for a 162 against the Tigers, which is massive. I know they were giving away points to opposition mids, opposition rucks, should say. And they were... where are they? So... over the last 5 games, they've given up... they've been a positive correlation, but not too bad. But I think historically, he scored pretty well, hasn't he? Against the Tigs. Yeah, he has. 123, 98, and 174, which was around 2023. So, yeah, he's in good form. He's Gorny. Miso Gorny. So I might be Gorny for Gorn first up. Served me well the week prior as well as my VC lock-in score. So... might put the VC early on him before I look at anyone else. Outside of him, there's Bont, obviously, against Frio. How does he score against them? He averages 110.9, has scored 100, 182, and a 114. So, a bit of a mixed bag there. There is Sarong. I could potentially whack it on as well. 115.4, he averages against the Dogs. So quite a nice average. 103, 130, and 138 in his previous 3. When do they play? Later in the round. So, I could potentially put the VC on Gorn and the C on Sarong. Outside of that, Tuki Miller plays West Coast. It should bounce back, but yeah, hasn't been in the best form in recent games, so I'm not willing to do that, especially as a C option. VC, yeah, not too bad, like, you know, to take the risk. Then, of course, there's Sammy Walsh against the Cats. First up, the Walshinator. He is someone to consider. He scored a 75, 158, and 126 in his previous three. So, yeah, he is someone that I'm super, super keen on. I'll need to work out whether or not I do that. Yeah, so I'll keep that in mind. But I think at this stage, without putting too much thought into it, it'll probably be gone into Sarong. Sheasel's another one as well. Has gone really gangbusters every single week, but down a little bit on production on the weekend. Bit of a tougher game against the Crows as well at Blundstone Arena. But yeah, that's kind of where we are at. That's it, ladies and gents. We'll just have a quick scroll down here at the most traded in and out of those players. Not on my team, so people are going early on Riley Garcia, which is interesting. I wouldn't be touching another Dogs player with a 10-foot pole at the moment until, obviously, if Garcia goes off his nana, it'd be hard to ignore next week. But there's obviously Jack McRae people are looking at, Dan Houston, trade-outs, the Sharp, D'Ambrosio, so I think those guys, Sharp and D'Ambrosio, will be in the firing line over the coming next couple of weeks just to help me get in English and potentially another forward. I might look at McRae next week just to sort of keep that in mind. I do think he will be a top six forward, but with Bevo, who the bloody hell knows, just with starting subs and being subbed off and all that sort of stuff. So I'd much prefer to wait a week. Yeah, sure, if I need to pay extra for McRae, is what it is. So yeah, we'll look at him down the track, but anyway, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. So that is it, ladies and gents. Thanks again for tuning in, really do appreciate it. And of course, if you haven't subscribed to our channel yet, consider doing so. Would love a sub, give us a like, and of course, don't forget to tune in to our weekly podcast as it drops on Tuesday morning. Thanks again, and thanks for troopering through if you've come to this point and listening to my husky Barry Hall, Jonathan Brown type voice. Yeah, hopefully by the, actually, because we are recording our podcast tomorrow, it'll probably carry forth into that as well, so I do apologize. But nonetheless, thanks again for tuning in. Really do appreciate it, and we'll catch you in the next podcast. Cheers.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.